The life of Christ begins with a Joseph. Joseph of Bethlehem, we could call him because that's where he was from. He was the espoused husband to Mary. And when we come to the life of Christ, it ends with a Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea. We're not quite sure where Arimathea was, but God uses that designation to set this Joseph apart from the other Josephs in the Old and New Testament. He was the Joseph, the one from Arimathea, but now living in Jerusalem and having his own burial spot there in that great city. The Holy Scripture records this man four times in all four Gospels. Holy Spirit doesn't even do that with Joseph of Bethlehem. The Holy Spirit does bring to our attention this man. And not because of his work, although his work is briefly mentioned. That is his everyday work. But because of his actions at the end of the life of our Lord here on this earth. That is, before our Lord was risen from the dead. We find that in Matthew's gospel that this man was a rich man. We could have perhaps deduced that from the context. He had a sepulcher for a grave. He was also a counselor, which usually implied riches. But Matthew states it very clearly. He was a rich man. And Matthew also says he was a disciple of Jesus. Mark here records that he was an honorable counselor who was waiting for the kingdom of God. Luke adds to these two descriptions that Joseph was a good man and a righteous man, or as it says in the Authorized Version, a just man. Joseph also says that he was part of the Sanhedrin. That ought to amaze you. This man was part of the body that condemned Christ and handed him over to Pilate. And Luke makes it very clear that Joseph did not consent with the council or the deeds of those evil men. John's gospel says that he was a disciple, but John, as we read this morning, said that he was a secret disciple because of the fear of the Jews. And then in the actions that Joseph has here before us, we find that in John's gospel, Nicodemus was also a player. Nicodemus was also there helping Joseph as he took the body and then put the body in his own sepulcher. God records the name of this man, obviously for his godliness, but primarily because of his actions in connection with the body of Christ. What he did with the body of Christ would set this man apart and would have this man remembered for thousands of years. He did something to the body of Christ. Now we can look at what he did to the body of Christ and read it and say, well, that was wonderful what he did, but what does that have to do to me or with me? I mean, I have no opportunity of reaching out and touching the body, wrapping the body in linen and spices, putting the body in my own sepulcher or burial spot. I can't do that. But you know, in a very real sense, you do have a relationship with the body of Christ. We are all part of that body. A spiritual body, a real body. And the Bible mentions that body. And Christ takes it personally, what you do for his body. For instance, when you come to Acts chapter 9, he speaks to Saul of Tarsus. And it says in Acts 9, when the Lord appeared, that Saul fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he, that is Saul, said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, Saul of Tarsus never met Jesus. Who was Saul of Tarsus persecuting? He was persecuting the people of Christ, the body of Christ. And our Lord took that personally. Why are you persecuting me? Me. Our Lord uses similar language in Matthew chapter 25, when he's dealing with the final judgment. And in Matthew chapter 25, he bids those that are on his right hand to enter the kingdom that was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And he says, I'm bidding you to come and join me because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. Well, those on the right hand were perplexed. many of those on the right hand will be those here this morning and those of our generation. We have never seen him. We never gave him clothes. We never visited him when he was in prison. How, Lord, do you say that we did this for you? The righteous shall answer him, that is Christ, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The Lord takes it personal. What you do to his people or for his people. Then he cast those on the left hand into hell for similar reasons. They didn't visit him in prison. They didn't clothe him. They didn't give him food and drink. And they will ask, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you naked? And he'll say, because you didn't do it to my brethren. You weren't doing it to me. You see, you and I have opportunity of really doing something with the body of Christ. Oh, not the physical body that Joseph of Arimathea had, but the spiritual body. And in dealing with the spiritual body, Christ takes this personal. He takes it as if you're dealing with him. We are called the spiritual body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 12, the apostle says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The body of Christ is here this morning. You're sitting next to the body of Christ. If you're a believer, you're part of that body of Christ. The Spirit has put you into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is larger than those that are sitting here this morning. It is throughout the earth. It's in China this morning. It's in Europe this morning. It's in Africa this morning. It's in South America this morning. The body of Christ is throughout the earth. The body of Christ, spiritual body of Christ, is also in heaven. And you and I, we come to this passage of Scripture, we say, well, I can't be like Joseph of Arimathea. I can't go and take the body of Christ down from the cross and wrap it and put it in the sepulchre. What application does this have for me? Well, this morning, you and I are in contact with the body of Christ. And the question we ought to be asking ourselves, do we have the faith of Joseph? Do we have the compassion of Joseph? Do we have the same intent in our hearts that Joseph had in his as far as blessing the body of Christ? How do we view the body of Christ? He viewed it in a certain way, and it drew out of him certain actions. It helped him overcome his fears. He was going to help the body of Christ. We must be known as those who are properly related to the body of Christ. Joseph of Arimathea, for all of his life, from this point on, was known as the one who was properly related to the body of Christ. What is it about Joseph that we can apply this morning to our own relationship to the spiritual body of Christ? Well, first of all, we must be identified with that body. That's what happened. Joseph of Arimathea publicly was identified with the body of Christ. There were some who were disciples who were not willing to be identified with that body. They fled. Some who are notable, some who had big names among the disciples, they fled. But now when our Lord is dead and when all the wrath of man is poured out upon him, Joseph of Arimathea is willing to have his name associated with that of Christ. When we look at his identity with the body of Christ, we find that he was identified with that body personally. He could have sent someone else. We know he was a rich man. He could have sent perhaps a servant or paid someone else to go and take the body down, go and perhaps beseech Pilate on behalf of himself. But he didn't do that. He comes forward publicly before Pilate, the one who had Christ crucified. And then he goes publicly to the crosses where perhaps the two thieves were with broken legs, not yet dead. And he comes and he takes the body down. There are probably still people around mocking the thieves on the cross, railing upon them. And yet Joseph publicly and personally identified with that body. Publicly. He didn't do it in secret. He did it openly. Here was a man who was afraid. We know that from John's gospel. He was secretly a disciple for fear of the Jews. He was part of the Sanhedrin. There was a great hostility against anyone following Christ. It's an indication that perhaps even Nicodemus was part of that Sanhedrin. There were two men in that Sanhedrin who were followers of Christ. And now they're being brought out of their fear into the open. You know, you and I cannot remain secret disciples. The Lord wants us to be public disciples. In a sense, he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a missionary. But he identified with the body of Christ to the extent that everybody knew this was now a believer. Here's a man who has compassion for the body of Christ. We can say that his identifying with the body of Christ was not only personal and public, but it was positive. It was positive. He was not looking for anything from that body for himself. He was looking to see what he could do for that body. It was positive. We have many today who identify in America with the body of Christ because it's financially to their advantage. They're selling things. They're promoting things. And they find that they can market the gospel or market the things of Christ. And it's to their advantage. What would happen if persecution broke out where believers were dying? Would those same people want to identify publicly, positively with Christ? Here was a man who was waiting for the kingdom, and it says here that he boldly went into Pilate. That's the only time in the four Gospels that it says that he was bold, but you could have deduced that without it saying it. To come in before Pilate and to ask. He was one of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin had delivered Christ over to Pilate. And now one from their numbers is coming and asking for the body. He came in boldly. And we find that when he did so, he went to the cross himself and took Christ down. If you're going to be identified with the body of Christ, you're going to have to personally say, "These are my people. This is God's body, and I want to be a part of them. I want to be associated with. I want people, when they speak of the body of Christ, to speak of me. I want people, when they think of the body of Christ, to think of me." You can't think of the body of Christ without thinking of Joseph of Arimathea. Can people around you think of the body of Christ and your name never come into play? Here we find Joseph of Arimathea identified with the body of Christ. Secondly, we see that he cares for that body. He not only asked for it and took it down, but he was truly caring for the body. Now, to care for the body means you have to be near the body. This is a hardship for some of God's people. In some parts of the earth, it's hard for them to come together as we come together here. It's hard for them to assemble. Some of them have to travel a long distance. Some of them have to travel under threat of imprisonment or threat of death. It's not easy for them to gather. But in our country, it is relatively easy, and there's transportation that makes it easier. And yet we have people making excuses who could be among the people of God. They're staying home. They just don't want to be among those hypocrites. They just don't want to be among those imperfect people. My friend, God's people are not perfect. They never have been. They weren't in the early church, and they're not now. But they're still called the body of Christ. More than that, they're called the temple of God. More than that, they're called the habitation of God. Right now, though, they be imperfect. And if you're going to care for the body of Christ, you can't do it sitting at home. You've got to be among the people of God. You've got to see their need, and you've got to try to reach out and help them in their need. You've got to be there. To care for the body of Christ, we hear see something about the closeness of this man to the body of Christ. This speaks of the fact that he had a concern that drove him to the cross, a concern that drove him to the body of Christ. He esteemed that body as something more than those soldiers esteemed, something more than the people around the cross esteemed it. How do you esteem the body of Christ? Spiritual body. Do you really believe that Christ is the living head and that he's joined spiritually? Do you really believe that you have been put into that body, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12? This is not a gathering like a political party, the Democrat or Republican or some independent party. This is not that. This is not a fellowship of men or women like the Lions Club or the Rotary. This is a body that's in union with Christ, a living body. And you were put in that body the moment you believed. You were baptized into that body. That's not water baptism. That's the Spirit's ministry who puts you in to the body of Christ. We have already seen you attack the body of Christ. Christ says, you're attacking me. We have already seen you benefit the body of Christ. You care for the body of Christ. Christ says, you're doing that to me. How do you view the body of Christ? He came close to the body of Christ because he believed that body to be a special body. There are many who view the Church of Christ just like another organization. A religious organization is no different than the Muslims. No different than the Jews meeting in the synagogue. My friend, if that's the way you view it, you're not viewing the church the way the Scripture defines and describes her. The church is in union with Christ. To the extent that everyone in that church has a spiritual gift to give and minister to someone else in. I'm trying to use my gift this morning. But you all have gifts. Every one of you. If you're in this body. Some are eyes, some are noses, some are mouths, some are hands, some are feet. If you're all part of this body of Christ, and you've been part of that body from the moment you were a believer, from the moment that you were born from above, God was placed in you, Christ was placed in you by the Spirit, you were placed in Christ. Do you have a concern for the body of Christ? What brought Joseph of Arimathea near was he had a concern. I dare say the reason many don't have a concern is they don't view the body as being united to Christ. They don't see it that way. We find here that he had real compassion, did he not? There was a man who was there, a soldier, and he thrust a spear into our Lord's side. That wasn't the actions of Joseph. Can you see him coming to that cross and somehow undoing the hands and the feet from the nails? It says he took him down. Someone had to take him down. It wasn't the soldiers that took him down. It was Joseph of Arimathea. And then we know from John's gospel that Nicodemus brought with him the spices that were used for a Jewish burial. And they wrapped the body in those spices and they wrapped it in this linen. He was caring for the body. It cost him something, did it not? It was a concern, it was a compassion, a closeness. There was something that cost him. You know, there are some here this morning, and you're only here to see what you can get out of being here. If people meet your needs, you're happy. But Joseph of Arimathea was not there trying to get his needs met. He was there trying to meet the needs of the body. And this morning, you are called upon to meet the needs of those sitting around you. You are called upon to minister to them. To pray for them, to have compassion upon them, to care for them. Our Lord said, you fed me. You clothed me. You visited me when I was in prison. Have you ever done any of those things for God's people? Matthew 25 is often used by people who want to turn the gospel into a social gospel. And they're saying that the church ought to go out and be the one that feeds and clothes and deals with people in prison. That's not what our Lord is speaking about. He's not speaking about the unbeliever who is hungry, the unbeliever who is naked, the unbeliever who is in prison. Matthew is talking about his people, the believers. They're hungry. They're naked. And they're in prison. In other words, they have needs. And we look at that body of Christ and we try to help them in their needs. Now, our main purpose is preaching the gospel to the unsaved to get them saved. But what about when they are saved? What about that? Well, how do you deal with them? And our Lord is speaking about, in Matthew 25, that we're to show them acts of compassion. Now, if you feed someone, that's money out of your pocket. You clothe someone, that's money out of your pocket. You visit them in prison, that's taken away from your time schedule. Our Lord is saying, you went out of your way to help the brethren. And he said, when you did it, it's the least of them. Those that were not worthy to be counted great ones in the earth or great ones in the church. When you did it to the least of them, you were doing it unto me. To the body of Christ. We have a church here and there's many that do a lot of things behind the scenes. We have flowers that decorate the church. We have people that clean the church, people that work on the yard of the church, people that prepare meals in the church. I hesitate to start mentioning all this done because there's so much done in this church by people. And if you ask the people, why are you doing this? They're not getting any financial gain from it. They're doing it because they esteem this to be the body of Christ. This morning we sit here in comfort because somebody came and used their time to clean the building. We have people playing music to benefit us. They're using their gift to benefit us. And it's the body of Christ. They're doing it as unto the Lord, trying to minister to us. We all give in the offerings. Why? In order to help minister to the body of Christ. We have an opportunity not just to evangelize the lost, but to show Christ how much we love him by showing the brethren that we love them. We do have an opportunity like Joseph of Arimathea of dealing with the body of Christ. We do. And this day is the Lord's day for us to do that. To try to show mercy and compassion to those that are in need. We can also say, lastly, that we have to anticipate the exaltation of the body of Christ. We see that here he came and was willing to be identified publicly with a body. And then we see him caring for that body, wrapping it in linen cloth, and then putting it in a sepulcher. Why a sepulcher? Why didn't he take the body out and burn it, cremate it? It's because in the Old Testament, they believed that there was coming a day of resurrection. And so they interred the body. They put it in a grave of some type because they believed there was coming a day of resurrection. Job had that belief. We find that in Job chapter 19. Turn there if you would. Job 19 and verse 25. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Worms are going to destroy my body, but I'm going to see God from that body. How do you find that? How do you answer that? He believed there was coming a day of resurrection. Not just with his spirit he would see God, but from the vantage point of his flesh, he would see God. In Daniel chapter 12, if you'll turn there, we also have a statement about the resurrection. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." It's coming a resurrection. Some will be raised to life, others will be raised to damnation and judgment. Those that are raised to life, we see them shining as the brightness of the firmament. There'll be a glory about those that are God's people. We come into the New Testament. We find that was indeed the hope of God's people. You remember when Lazarus died, that our Lord came to that area of Bethany and Martha met him? And our Lord said to Martha that he would arise. And listen to Martha's words. She says in verse 24, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Where did she get that from? It wasn't from our Lord's teaching. She got that from the Old Testament. She believed that there would be a resurrection the last day. And she said, Lord, I know he's going to rise in that day. I know it's going to happen. We do anticipate that the body of Christ will be changed. I know we look at each other, and if we live together as the body of Christ, we see the imperfections. You see my imperfections. I see yours. Sometimes those imperfections rub each other the wrong way. But there's coming a day when we're going to be changed and the imperfections will be gone. You won't rub people the wrong way because of your lack of faith. Oftentimes that's what we do now. We have lack of faith and our unbelief is rubbing the wrong way someone who's believing. Or perhaps our lack of love. There are days our love is not too strong, and because of it, it shows in the way that we speak to and the way we act toward God's people, either in the home or in the church. But there is coming a day, and we believe it, that this people are going to be changed. And they're going to be perfected. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, literally the body of our lowliness, the body of our humiliation. He's going to change that body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. Your lowly bodies will be changed. It's coming. Paul again wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, for this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Joseph believed in the resurrection, and he took Christ's body and he put it in the sepulcher. I don't know if he understood about the third day, Christ rising, but he did believe in the resurrection, and he showed that by putting the body in the sepulcher. He believed it would rise again. Do you believe that? It's very, very easy to get so angry with God's people and their imperfections and forget the fact God's going to make them perfect one day. God's going to change them all. That corruption will put on incorruption. That mortal will put on immortality. That vile or lowly body will be made like unto his glorious body. God will do the change. And he's the only one who's going to be able to do it. Oh, we sanctify and we try to do better. And the preacher preaches that way. You're reading the scripture. You try with all of your might to overcome sin and to walk a holy life. That's what it should be. But there's coming a day without your trying, God's going to do something that's going to change you. Going to change you. We believe that. And we believe that this body in Malvern, every believer will be changed in that day. What a testimony we would have in Malvern if that change took place today. We believe there's going to come that day, just as Joseph believed it. We believe that that day will change us, not in a bad way, but in a good way. We will be glorified. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks about our body, that it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. When you die, your body is sown in dishonor. But when God raises it, he raises it in glory. Romans chapter 8, Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you believe that this morning? Not do you merely believe this is the body of Christ, but do you believe there's glory awaiting us? That there is a change that's going to come over us. That even if we die, we will be raised and that we will be glorified. Paul did. And he says, I can't even compare the sufferings now with the glory that's coming. He could say, for me to depart and be with Christ is far better. We don't usually live that way, do we? To depart and be with Christ is far better. We're looking for the better now. We're looking for it in this life. Yet you'll say goodbye to the things of this life. Do you believe that the body of Christ will be changed? That imperfect group of people that we call the church, that they will be changed one day and that they will be perfected one day. The imperfections of sin and death will be changed, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. We will give way to glory. This ought to influence the way we treat the body of Christ now. We can say not only do we anticipate a day of change, we anticipate a day of glory. We anticipate that this day will give way to eternity as a day of permanence. All the body of Christ for all eternity will be serving and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, then you believe that the people round about you this morning who are believers are going to be the people round about you for all eternity. That's sobering, isn't it? For all eternity, this group of people is going to be around you if you're saved. Not just this group. The body of Christ throughout this country, the body of Christ throughout Europe, Asia, as we said this morning, Australia and Africa, South America, that body of Christ will be joined together. And for all eternity, you're going to be with that body because it's going to be raised incorruptible. Do not fight with those that you're going to be spending eternity with. It's the mark of goats that they butt heads all the time. When my father-in-law raised goats, first thing you saw the goats do is see who was going to rule the roost, and they would butt heads. Kind of funny to watch until you see that happening in the church. It's butting of heads. We're sheep. We're not goats. We're to love the brethren. We're to be willing to be defrauded rather than butt heads. We're to go out of our way to care for the body. Even if it costs us, we'll care for the body. We're going to help the body. We're not butting heads. We love the body. We're going to spend eternity with this body. Now, we're not going to allow the imperfections of heresy or unrepentant sin to reign in the body of Christ because it takes away from her testimony. Having said that, in dealing with heresy and unrepentant sin, there are still problems in the body. Do you love the body? Joseph of Arimathea showed his faith in Christ by the way he treated the body of Christ. And you and I show our faith in Christ by the way we treat the body of Christ. We'll be looking at this briefly tonight, but turn if you would to Ephesians chapter 1. We could point this up in 1 John, or really most of the epistles have the same theme. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says this: "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." What were the two things that made the Ephesians, in Paul's mind, part of the body of Christ? You believe on Christ and you love all the saints. You're trusting in him, you're loving all the saints. And Paul says, when I knew that about you, I began to give thanks to God for you. When you say that you believe on Christ, but you don't love all the saints, now you're saying something that's not right. You're saying something is contradictory. How can you truly be believing on Christ and not loving Christ and his people? If you're believing on Christ, won't you love Christ for what he's done? You say, well, I love Christ. I just don't love his people. That's his body. Well, my wife wouldn't like it very much if I said, well, I love your head, but I can't stand your hands and your feet and your arms. We love the totality of God's people. They're his people. Now, we have to discern who they are, because there are many who say they're God's people and they're not. And we discern who they are by what they believe and how they act. But to say, I'm a believer, right with God, well, all right, fine. That means you're believing on Christ, and that means you're loving all the saints. All the saints. Now that takes grace. It takes grace to believe on someone you cannot see. And it takes grace to love those that you can see. And Paul was thanking God because he saw that grace evident in their life, indicating they truly were born again. They truly knew the Lord. Joseph of Arimathea, identified with the body of Christ, cared for the body of Christ, and anticipated a glorious exaltation of that body. And this morning, we, if we're saved, identify with the body of Christ. And we try to care for the brethren. We're not here merely to get, we're here to give, to exercise our gift, and to minister to the needs of those that we love. And we believe there's coming a day of glory where these people, though imperfect, these people will one day be glorified and we will be glorified with them. Like Joseph of Arimathea, we can indeed be identified with Christ. May the Lord make it so in our day that we are identified with his body and that we glory in the fact that we are a part of that body. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. You're not a part of that body unless you repent and believe. You must yourself come to Christ and lay hold of him. You can actually join a church and not be a part of the body of Christ. You must repent and believe. And if you repent and believe, that change in the heart will give you a love for Christ and a love for his people. If that love is not there, you have to ask yourself this morning, am I believing on Christ? If you're not believing, turn from your sins and come to him today. And if that love has grown cold, ask him to make it fervent again. Ask him to give you a sight of this body that is a spiritual body, the temple of God. Ask him to give you such a sight that you might love the body and minister to the body and not be ashamed in that day of judgment. If you're not saved, come to Christ. I'm your servant for Christ's sake. If I can help you this morning in coming to Christ, that's what I want to do. Seek me out. I'd be happy to spend time with you today, pointing you to Christ. But it's Christ that you need. You can come to Christ right where you sit. You can come to Christ at this very moment. Come to Christ. Lay hold of him. Become a part of the body of Christ by coming and laying hold of the head of the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful this day for the testimony of Joseph of Arimathea. We are thankful this day that you gave him grace to overcome his fear, to identify with Christ, to show his compassion and faith to Christ, to indeed show that he truly believed in the resurrection that would come. Lord, we say we believe all those things. Lord, give us grace to demonstrate it this day by loving the body of Christ. Loving them personally, loving them ourselves, doing that which is good that will help the body of Christ. Lord, give us such grace that we in our day might be those who minister to the body joined to the living head. Lord, we pray for those here this morning that are yet without Christ. We ask as they would wrestle with their unbelief that thou wouldst quicken them, that thou wouldst give them faith, and that this day they would know what it is to come and trust Christ for themselves. Lord, come and help them. Draw them graciously to Christ. May they be born from above. Even as they seek Christ this morning, may they know what it is to trust in him. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.